Thank you, Joan, for having me back. I always love coming to Hemingway's and reading and coming back to Pittsburgh. So I'm going to read from my most recent collection, which is called Waiting for the Wreck to Burn. And this is a book of sorrows. It's a book of grief and mourning. And it does not discriminate. It covers all the sorrows, death in its various forms, murder, suicide, natural, divorce, separation, loss. But I promise that I will not be a total downer. I've done this before, and I'm like, and people needed lithium when they left, and I was like, all right, I gotta change it up. So I've changed it up, and I promise to end on a high note. So I'm gonna start with a poem from. The book begins with a series of poems that take place in this town called Ruination, and Ruination is the location of grief, and so the poems are about the town of Ruination, the town next to it, which is anybody's hometown, and the river that separates the two towns. So this is called The Secret of Ruination, and it's about the kids in the town. Beneath the city lies a labyrinth with corridors much too narrow for any body bigger than a small child's. When children disappear, we suspect that's where they are and worry only slightly. We gather near small cracks in the packed dirt to listen for echoes. But even those among us with exquisite hearing can't be sure the sounds we treasure aren't just reverberations of distant traffic. Those of us raised here, we were all raised here. Remember the labyrinth, but can't picture it. We don't know how we always found our way out, how we didn't mind the darkness, how our lives in the maze did not seem separate from our lives above ground. We never wondered why our parents never mentioned it. It is an unspoken rule that we do not speak of it to each other, to outlanders. One man outside our city walls, mad, went mad from curiosity, knowing every person could hear sounds from the cracks in the earth that he could not. He set off looking for the labyrinth. The secret of ruination is not the labyrinth. The secret is how to damn someone to ruination without ever letting them in. So this next poem takes place in and around the river, and it's called Where the Darkness is Never Filtered. Who could have known? After you cleaned up, started wearing that fez around Lark Street and upped the Thorazine, that you would look so good. I would have wrestled you, drove around all night with your cigarette scumming the windshield of my grandmother's 71 Dodge Dart. If it could change the future, had I known the future was a river you would stumble into. Your voice laid down rails, I would have followed anywhere. Mostly night, mostly tunnel burrowing underground, always a howl echoing faintly, and I imagined beast answering unseen beast. You brought me to the border of ruination every night and pretended you could not see beyond the tree line. Or maybe you could not see beyond the tree line, which is how I learned that the future was to few people's taste, that they had to fish out your body, that the darkness is nothing to be afraid of, only the morning, its certain light. So I'm just gonna read one more from this series, and this happens in the next town. And it's called Get in the River, Get in the River, Get in the River, Get. When they pulled you from the water, their pockets filled with stones. When they pulled you from the water, mother's lips turned blue. Bathtub drains tugged menacingly at the bodies above them. The wind blew from the south, from the east, from the north, from the west, dying down at the river. When they pulled you from the water, a child dreamed a fountain in the center of town. A child said, in death, all things are equal, all things are home. A child said, get back in the river. I told the child I was never in the river. A child said, get back in the river, quick. So there's a lot of readers tonight, so I'm just going to read one more poem. It's a little bit longer, but this is me bringing it up a notch. So I'm going to switch sorrows, and I'm going to read now about everybody's favorite sorrow, which is divorce. And this is called The Almost Adulterer's Guide to Menu Planning. And I'm gonna sort of switch my body a little bit here. Okay. When I cook with wine, I am thinking of another man. When I cook with the good wine, I think any other man but you. When I drink the wine I'm cooking with, I'm putting forth the effort to be present. When I melt butter and lick it off a plate, I've been neglected. When I omit anchovies from the puttanesca, I resent your particular tastes. Anytime I put salsa on everything, I should have just licked melted butter off a plate. When I toast the meatball subs until the cheese is bubbling, I am appealing to the part of you that prefers to live alone. When I make chili, don't call it a stew. When I make gazpacho, don't call it a stew. When I make a stir fry, don't call it a stew. When I spoon cottage cheese into the baby's mouth, I remember the night you made Hungarian pasta 3 years ago. When I make kapustas tiesta, my mother makes it better. When I make umborka shalata, my mother makes it better. When I make macaroni salad, I remember when you told my mother that my macaroni salad was better than hers. When dried salami and head cheese are hidden in the crisper, my mother is coming for a visit. She knows about our menu. I have sunk that low. When I put blackberries in the pancakes, I am pleasing you. When I put blueberries in the pancakes, I am pleasing me. I don't make stew. When I read the cookbook, I'm trying to remember. I microwave frozen burritos when the marriage is doomed. I heat canned tomato soup when the marriage is doomed. When I refuse to acknowledge a doomed marriage, I add carrots, celery, tortellini, and hope it is enough. When I use the measuring spoons, I don't trust myself. When I bake cookies from cake mix, they are often for someone else. When I roast the root vegetables, I wish someone else would roast the root vegetables. When I wash the dishes, I wish you would get off your ass and wash the dishes. When I make strawberry rhubarb crumble, it is summer, and I almost believe you find me lovely. When I pan fry peaches in butter and brown sugar, it was summer and I was in love. When I cooked who knows what in lingerie and heels, it was summer and you asked. When I make stuffed peppers, I am staring at the last ditch. When I read the cookbook, I am trying to remember. When I price the snow peas, I am thinking of another man, the one who tends a garden, the one who mixes dressing, the one who cooks with ginger for the heat. Thank you.